Primark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Primark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Honestly, I can get there quickly. using the back roads too. But, see what happens. If worse comes to worse, I just get off the next exit.
Well, I'm down to 182 pounds. So this 170s can't be far away.
Yeah, I've been sitting at around 180. Just took a nosedive down to 177, now it's up to 178. Maybe it's gradually going down. Yeah. Trying to take things easy.
All right, I have a pen in front of me. I have something to write on. I'm going to ask you probably for a third time the name of the sugar-free store in Port Jeff.
Oh, I can't remember it. I might be able to go into the history on the phone later and get it. And they have one. They have one in Levittown too. I'll see if I can look it up when I'm sitting at the table doing nothing.
Well, my preferred one would be Port Jeff, of course. Anyhow, that is good. And, yeah, so these meds seem to help. I got a decent night's sleep last night for a change.
Yep. You know, that's a good thing. Trust me, I've been trying to get that myself, and it's been improving slowly but surely, but,
So how did you make out yesterday at the car dealership?
Yesterday was Sunday.
Shows you where my head's at. Okay, so that's today. All right, so you're not working today then. You're out and about. What, are you headed there now to the dealership?
Yeah, what they tried to do did not fix what they tried to do.
Yeah, you'll have to make another look-see. And, like you said, it's going past them now, the complexity with all this computerization.
Yes. Well, that's what made Steve good when he was in that business.
Who was that?
My sidekick, Steve.
He was in that business?
Yes, he was. Before he was working where he is now, he was a what they call an A mechanic.
Oh, very good. So I'm Mr. Shuck, right?
What other Steve would I be talking about? Yeah, he was good at the electronics. Anyway, he hasn't been doing that for a long time, so I don't know. I doubt that he's up to date on things.
So what do you think about cars that drive themselves? That's going to be safe? Seeing that these guys may not be up to speed on a lot of this?
Oh, eventually. You got two ways of looking at that. Okay. As soon as you get the people off the road driving, self-driving cars will probably be safe. I'm going to go this way. This will be a little bit shorter. And I'm sure the technology is probably not 100% there now, but it's probably getting there.
And then you wonder how hackable it might be. But, yeah, I think they also might add some infrastructure on the roadways to support that also, whatever that might be. But I just hope they don't have too many stumbles along the way, you know. Think of an 18-wheeler. I think some of them actually have that now. I'm not sure. Somewhere. But, we'll see. All right, so today will be a restful day. I take these pills, and I'll tell you, the craziness is that one pill requires an empty stomach, and the other pill requires food. So I have to make this crazy schedule up.
Gotta space things out, eh?
Yeah. And I didn't even realize it was Monday, so that shows you where I'm at. Oh, that's all right. This is NY2H.
And this is WB2CFA.
So I have another Raspberry Pi that Jerry picked up at a ham fest for a great price. I gotta fire it up and see if it really works or not. And if it does, I'll start building up the Plainview node for our. And I want to give Glenn Kearney a call, because we have borrowed his DMK interface. And between him and the club, I'll see if they want to order a third for Plainview. And we'll give Glenn his back. Or maybe Glenn wants to sell his, or continue the loan for a while. And then the horror is going to be trying to get that to work with the Arconic plane. We'll see if we have the same issues we had in Middle Island with that. In Plainview, I really can't go without the controller because we're accommodating RLP along with Echolink. I mean, I say I can't. Maybe I could further investigation, but at first shot, I want to have the controller remain there, that installation, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
Let's see.
Yeah, it's a little bit foggy out this morning, by the way.
All right, well, maybe he'll bring up the humidity with my running this humidifier, because I have forced hot air, and it really dries the air out, and that's not too good for me right now. I have a room humidifier here. My son wants to put a humidifier in the HVAC system, so I'll probably tell him to go ahead with that. But, yeah, fog. Fogginess. Low ceiling for you aviators.
Yep, there you go. I'm making too bad time. Says I'll be there in 7 minutes.
So, which indicator or what part of your system actually is not 100% yet?
The backup camera and what they call the backup. They call it backup assist, which is tied to the camera. Keeps coming up with errors. The camera goes blue. And somewhere I read that there was an issue with the wire being open and possibly getting noisy. But I'll have to look that up.
So you see a blue screen instead of the view in the back?
That's it. And then I come up with an error that says your backup assist system is not working, which that's part of.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not a wire. I mean, those wires are like embedded in cables, all wrapped together and stuff. Probably a dog. Unless they have to replace the whole thing, the cable.
Well, that would be their problem.
All right. And they didn't know that they released the car to you with that not being fixed, or did they just tell you, we haven't figured it out yet, come back?
No, they replaced the part that they thought it was, and that didn't work.
Okay, but since they turned a car back to you, did they think it worked? It sounds like they didn't test it once they replaced it. Or did they know it was still failing and inform you of that?
Oh, no. It works more frequently than it did before. But it still occasionally fails. It's not a consistent thing right now. I mean, probably works 80% of the time.
I see. Yeah, well, we appreciate that intermittent problems are the worst, because you never know when you're done. No, I didn't realize it was intermittent.
Oh, yeah, before it was intermittent, too. You know, like, 40 or 50% of the time it wouldn't work. It improved it a little bit.
Wow, that's crazy. There were multiple issues. And what they swapped out helped, but it wasn't the whole game. All right, well, hopefully they get it right. Now you, what they do, they give you a loaner car?
That's what they did last time. I'm just going there so they can take a look. I'm sure they're not going to be able to do anything about it today, but I wanted to see what's going on.
Now, based on how often it happens, you think you'd be able to demonstrate it to them? Or is it going to, like, fake you out and just work completely?
Kind of hard to tell. I did take a picture, though.
Yeah, hey, that was smart.
Although I'm sure they know what it's like.
You being in the repair end of things, let's say, are well aware that certain models, certain units, certain manufacturers across a single product have really similar failures. I wonder if they've seen this before. I know there were databases. When I was doing PCR work, there were databases that told you common failure modes amongst different models, the fixes for that, etc. So, valuable information.
Yeah, well, I found out about the unterminated cable when I Googled the problem way back when.
It was an unterminated cable, and was that, it just needed a termination, we're talking about for like, impedance reasons, or it was unterminated from a device it was supposed to be connected to?
No, I think it was unterminated because there's probably an option that required the additional wire. But, I don't know. It's been a long time, and I'm just pulling into the parking lot, so I'm going to get out of here. WB2ZSC.
Hi, Steve. Good luck. NY2H.
Good morning, Lou. 82 Kenage.
Good morning, Charlie. NY2H, I'm on Middle Island.
Very good. Is Middle Island up and working again?
Yep. We're all good.
That's fantastic. I'm glad to hear it. How was your weekend? I did general yard chores, mowed the lawn, that kind of stuff.
Well, that probably would be your last mow for the season, I imagine. I don't know. My weekend, I'm battling a flu-like syndrome. And yesterday, which was Sunday morning, I went to CityMD, and they gave me some meds, which are starting to help. You can probably hear my voice is still shot, but so that's what I've been doing. I finally got a decent night's sleep last night. Oh, I am on the disabled list.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Hope you feel better soon. And at least it's not one of the COVID strains that are still going around. You know, one of the accounts I go to, they have a few people in an assisted living facility that have it. But, I just got a stuffy head and dizziness, some vertigo. I don't know why. It's been hanging on for a few days.
Yeah, it's not COVID. I took a bunch of tests. And then they told me yesterday that I'm wasting the test because I had COVID at the beginning of August. And they're not too worried about COVID anymore. They're worried about 900 other viruses that are going around. They claim that because over the last 2 or 3 years we've kind of babied our immune systems by being so careful that now we're subject to catch whatever's around. And, of course, the schools are breeding grounds and the kids bring it home. And all that. Now, as far as the vertigo, I had that once, and I'll tell you, that's one of the worst things that I found. I got nauseous. The room would move around. Usually it's related to inner ear. Your vestibular system, the balance, those three loops in the three dimensions that let you know what your balance is like. There's little hairs, cilias, and fluid. Sometimes a little mineral gets in there. And they actually have a technique where you move your head around certain directions that could be effective in clearing it out.
Yeah, I've had it before, but it's just kind of weird. I guess my gyroscope is off. I've always been on a fine line for balance because, you know, I can't step on a boat. I could be in the Caribbean and I could get seasick. So it's like, I guess I'm right on the line.
So you're like me. You can't go on any of these amusement park rides. I remember one time my son dared me to go on this, like a roundup or whatever thing that spins around, and centrifugal force holds you against the wall and it goes up. So of course I had to go on. I didn't want to punk out in front of my son. But I'll tell you, I probably puked for the next 2 hours after that.
I know the ride well. Yeah, the floor drops out from under you when they lift it up. And I could handle it no problem. I was about maybe 19 years old. And then I guess I started having a dizziness and equilibrium problem with no more rides and that nonsense. And there's nothing you can do. I got talked into going on a deep sea fishing trip, and I took a double dose of Dramamine. And 20 minutes out, I was throwing up for like 7 hours and was sick 2 days after.
That's the worst. I hate that. But of course, the other fishermen were going, chum, chum, that's good. Bring some fish.
Well, I was laying in the cabin with a bucket to keep me company. I'll never do that again. Ever. My only fishing is done from the shore. That's why I got into fly fishing.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, the cabin's probably the worst place to be also. Get outside, you see the horizon, you try to focus on that. The enclosed cabin is probably not the best place to suffer with that, but I understand you maybe get a chance to lie down, you figure that would help. Yeah, I hate that. That is such a torture. That's a good torture. If they want to torture people, just spin them around a few dozen times and get them dizzy.
Yeah, unless people have really gone through it, they don't know how bad it is. It's horrible. And don't wish it on anybody. Well, maybe some people would have been good for terrorists when they were trying to get information. But I found that closing my eyes really helped because, you know, it took away the visual reference.
This is NY2H. Yeah, because what happened, one of the things that happen is the information you're getting from your balance system, the ears, is off. And then the information that you're getting from your eyes are true, but your brain is getting dissenting information. It's getting two different readouts, and it doesn't know what to do. So I think the default routine in that case is to throw up for some reason. I almost rather be dead. That's how much I hate that feeling.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. You feel like throwing yourself into the props and just get it over with. It's horrible. I remember being on a dive boat once in Caribbean, and I was getting ready to dive, and it was a little choppy, and I couldn't wait to get into the water just so I could get underwater and get away from the shifting.
And you felt better when you submerged?
Yeah, then you're back to a stable environment, you know, where everything is the way it should be. But, at least you know what it's like. When you're talking to somebody who doesn't have a clue, it's like, they just don't know how bad it really can get.
So I guess we have I don't know if you're in the, is it raining where you are? Where are you now?
Oh, I'm just coming up on Bald Hill by bicycle path.
Any rain?
No, it's just misting right now. It's just a light mist.
Alrighty. Can't wait till we get the antenna raised here on the Middle Island. That'll be great. You have that programmed in now, the new frequency?
Yeah, I'm on it right now. I switched over when you had mentioned it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have that much control yet over the courtesy tones, but I can tell the difference. We get that one courtesy tone when somebody comes in from Lone Oaks or Selden. We'll get the one followed by another. All right, very good. So how's it sound from there?
Oh, full scale, full fighting. And, yeah, it's been pretty good. I've been able to get on my HT, which I thought I was done with HTs, because from Patrick Village, they have worked fantastic. And, you know, wasn't able to get on Selden for some reason. But Middle Island, no problem.
Well, that's good. It's a feature. But the general plan is to, on a more permanent basis, hook it up to Plainview. So this will be temporary right now, and eventually we'll have Middle Island and Plainview linked. So, you know, we'll be able to link everything up. We can do whatever we want now. It's like one big switchboard. But that's the ordinary routine would be that Plainview and Middle Island will be linked, and apart from Glen Oaks and Selden, which will be linked. Now, I'd like to put an all-star link into Glen Oaks Selden also and use our current RF link as a backup. I think that'll help out in a couple of areas also. You know, we're still experiencing, as you probably know, minor dropouts on the link coming back from Glen Oaks to Selden. So if we put an all-star link there, that would solve that. And just use the RF as a backup. K2KNH and Y2H.
82KNH. Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, nothing like having redundancy. And yeah, the link hasn't been dropping out as much as it was at one time, so I don't even notice it anymore. And yeah, you guys are doing good work. I know it's been frustrating, but when you're fixing things and not working with brand new, it's a different world.
Yeah, not only that, but you have to understand, too, there's a lot of interfacing going on. Like, Steve will wire up the Master 3 a certain way and relay that information to me, and I've got to understand what he did. Then I have to wire up my end, and sometimes we have a little miscommunication. So it's a process, but you know, as frustrating as it might be, it's very satisfying when you reach your mark, so makes it all worth it.
Yes, I've been following, lurking in the background, listening to what's been going on, and inputs and outputs and whatnot. Yeah, getting on the same exact wavelength is always an issue.
All right, I'm going to give my voice a rest here. Still struggling a little bit. At one point, I couldn't speak at all. It was amazing. So, coming back. Have a good day, and we'll catch you later. KD2KNH, this is NY2H.
All right, we'll go grab a cup of tea or coffee and aspirin, whatever you need, and feel better. Coming up on exit 61, you're still full quieting. You're doing a great job. 82KNH clear, 73.
WB2EAV listening.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
NY2H, WB2TS.
N2YYC.
W2VL repeater.
NY2H, WB2TS.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
WB2IKT, listen.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Listen.
22OSR.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Here is WP2EAV listening.
WB2IKT. WB2IKT.
Hi, George. W2QZ.
Hey, good afternoon now. How are you? I'm doing all right, and I'm on Wantar Avenue by Jerusalem Avenue 105, heading north, going home.
I just left home. I'm on intersection of Merrick Road and Meadowbrook Parkway, along the South Shore. One of the worst areas for the repeater to cover. And I ran that. Used to be called South Shore Hospital. Now it's Mount Sinai. South Nassau.
Ah, yeah. Is that the one that's over in Oceanside?
That's the one, just south of Merrick Road.
Oh, okay. Yeah, very good. I just dropped a friend of mine off at the railroad station, and yeah, he had been up in New Hampshire going to the funeral services for Gordon. W2NH, who was one of our honorary members. He passed away last week.
Yes, I recall the, you know, I have to tell you, every time I see an email from Limark with the subheading bad news, you know, I ask myself, who is it now?
Yeah, he was a friend of mine. You know, when he lived here in Long Island, I was, you know, very good friends with him. And he moved to Vermont, where he always had a like a summer cabin. But anyway, he was 91, and he basically he died in his sleep peacefully. And I'm not sure what he died of, but I know he had several diseases that were pretty terrible, including cancer.
Yeah, that'll fit. 91 is a good run, I have to say. I would have guessed at 91 he died of old age, but I didn't know him at all, but lost for the hobby altogether. Whenever a hair moves on. They always said having a ham license doesn't make you a nice guy. Having a ham license doesn't give you a long life. We're just representative of the entire community with the same interest.
You're right on those things. But it does give us maybe a somewhat larger circle of friends than I guess many people would have. And as it turns out, Gordon, I think, was one of the pioneers in FM, using FM and repeaters in amateur radio. He was doing that in the late 60s, early 70s, and he was became the scoutmaster of a scout troop I was in, and he's the one that steered us into building a repeater, which we built in Hempstead, and we made it from surplus telephone company two-way radios, actually telephones. That the phone company at the time was replacing. And in the early 70s, having a mobile telephone was a big deal. I'm sure you remember that.
Absolutely. They had a handset. And the handset fit into a cradle. Yeah, I remember this. My first FM radio, which was 1972, was a TR-22, Drake. I had a clip-on rain gutter antenna. Of course, we don't have rain gutters anymore. But at that time, it was WA2PDJ, the repeater, and it was in Belmore, on the FAA towers, which the towers are now gone. So it 1 watt did very well. I live in Merritt. The next radio was a Secret Service Surplus X53 trunk mount with twin vibrator supply, and when you hit that when you hit transmit, the ammeter in the car went way down.
Yeah, and the headlights would dim, and if you were trying to accelerate, the car would try and stall. I remember those days. Yeah, my first mobile radio was actually one of the telephone units, which was actually a GE Progress line, what they called prog line radios. It was a UHF radio with, it had a transistor power supply, and 6332 or something, a dual tetro doubler, a tripler rather, and then a power amplifier. If we had fresh tubes, it would put out 20 watts. By the time they were junked, we'd be lucky if we could crank them up to 10 watts.
I remember the prog line. Them were the days. My TR-22, I had a Heathkit 10-watt amplifier, and it did the same as your prog line, with a lot less power draw. W2QZ in the Mobile.
Yeah, very good. At some time not too long after I had the thing up and running, I decided it was time for an upgrade. And the upgrade at the time was considered of a Motorola Motrac radio, maybe a half a step up above that prog line. And that one did pretty good. Then I decided that there were several repeaters I actually wanted to use. So I ended up buying a GLB synthesizer from a kit, building that. And that's what I did and used before I went to a rig specifically made for ham radio. I'm trying to remember which one I bought. And it was a long time ago. I think I had an Alinco, Well, no, it was a KDK radio, KDK 144. That was the first radio I bought that was specifically made for amateur FM operation. But by the time I bought that, it was the mid-70s.
I remember the LB synthesizer. They were the freedom machine. Remember, you know, whenever you got a rockbound radio, you go to Dick Neville's, W2D Garden City, you could pick up a pair of crystals, and he had a frequency monitor. He could put it right on three. But the GOB gave you, and I had my first, was also a KDK 144. I still have it. I don't think it works, but I still have that radio. It has the red LEDs in the front. I'm approaching the hospital now. George, nice reminiscing with you. Have a good day. It's always a pleasure. This is W2TZ in the Mobile. I'm clearing the file.
Okay, L 73. That was a good kiss, though, and thank you. Definitely bringing up those memories is, I guess, you know, part of realizing where we're at now. We've come a long way. W2QZ, WB2IKT is clear, and I too am approaching my house.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Suffice it to say, they need to give me the tools so I can do my job, and who's responsible for what, et cetera, et cetera. And certain things have fallen through the cracks, and unfortunately, when you're dealing with a big administration, that happens.
I'm assuming you're familiar with the curriculum at the school?
I am to a degree. I do a very specialized job, and they really have no idea what it is. And, you know, I don't want to go into great detail. Suffice it to say, it needs to be addressed, and I gave them my point of view, and hopefully they will take care of it.
Well, good. You know, sometimes you have to be very direct. The assertiveness sometimes is needed. That's good. Is the school district 501c3?
School Board of Ed.
So that means it is. I wonder if you guys are having any issues with the new curriculum.
Don't get into the teaching part of it. I deal with the technical side of it.
Okay. I am just glad our children are not in public school right now. From everything that I'm seeing that is going on, my wife and I would yank them out till they make it what it's supposed to be. We would school them ourselves, or we would have to send them to private school.
W-A-2-I-A-W. Yeah, well, I understand that. It's just, you know, between the State Board of Education and the federal government and everybody has their hands in the pie, and unfortunately, they don't seem to grasp things that I'm telling them, you know. And we have another meeting on Wednesday. I'm going to sit down and say, this is what needs to be done in order to comply with the program.
W-A-2-I-A-W, I guess you got a new call. Katie Julius White. Well, obviously everybody has their particular job to do and their own opinions. But with what's going on in the world these days, the word comply really bothers me.
Yeah, I understand. It's just, it's extremely frustrating. I'm sitting down here at my leisure at home, and I'm writing up different stuff that needs to be taken care of, and I will push it up the hill.
Okay, good. As long as, obviously, you and I agree that for the children's best edification, their education, their ABCs, and what is good for their brain at their age, appropriate, and for their future.
I hear you. Hang on a second. Every once in a while, this radio decides it doesn't want to work quite right, and I don't know why. Hang on.
KD2ESY, standing by.
Hopefully this will cure the problem. Let me get back to what I was doing, Andy, and maybe I'll catch up with you a little later. By the way, have you heard from Mac?
It was, I think, about 3 weeks ago, actually. I did get a relay that he's okay, that the typhoon didn't bother his area. It was south of where he was. But the last couple of weeks, I have not heard. I try him once in a while. Usually he's on about 6:15, 6:30 Eastern time. It's obviously 13 hours. He's very early in the morning he gets up. But I understand he's okay. Thanks for asking. I'm going to attempt some Echolink notes. I'm having a good time with this. KD2EFY.
Very good. You have a good time hopping around the different nodes, and you have a great afternoon. I'll probably catch up with you later. I usually listen around the time that Mac calls in, and some nice work Boo is doing, and the rest of the guys on the new new repeater system on, out in out on the east end there. Have a good one. WA2IAW.
WA2IAW. Have to memorize that. KCWSY. Yeah, they're doing an incredible job, and I really appreciate it. I still have to program those new frequencies into my phone. 7-3. Catch you later.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2QZ.
Oh, hi, Al.
I didn't expect to hear you.
Sometimes I don't expect to hear myself. Just being South Nassau, no, it's not called that. Mount Sinai, South Nassau. I have a friend, Sadie, who unfortunately damaged to his leg and shoulder. So he's in rehab here. He has to have his surgery. Hey, the guys, is it? Not him.
Yeah, okay. Sorry that he got banged up, but apparently he's making a bit of a recovery.
Yes, it is a bit. Unfortunately, you know, when you have, let's call it a hip surgery, that leg is very painful to be on. So the transition in therapy, physical therapy, is to use a walker to take some of the pressure off the leg until it strengthens and the pain recedes. But one of his arms is in a sling because of the shoulder injury. So he has to go, you know, full baloney right on the leg, which is very hard.
Yeah, I can imagine it's uncomfortable. Although I remember Sid Whalen, after he had his hip surgery, it made a tremendous difference in his mobility.
Oh yeah, when you recover, it's wonderful. But putting pressure after surgery, when you okay, now let's take a walk, you know, when you step down on it, whoa, talk about pain. Of course, at that point you're on oxy, so it takes. It takes the edge off, but you feel it. My wife went through it, so I know. Fortunately, I have not.
In that regard, I've been fortunate. I have not had to have anything done. My wife did have one knee replaced. Managed to make her way through that. More mobile than she was after the surgery. Prior to that, she couldn't walk much at all. And now she can walk, but she gets tired. But that's just simply because she's getting older.
Ain't that the truth? My wife had the knee, not the hip. Interesting enough, they say... And